from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez here on the Michigan Talk Network, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street 127 in Mason. And we are very happy to have them on board. And man, if you're looking for ammunition, they are chocked full of ammunition right now. 9mm. The shooting sports ammunition right now, if that's what you're looking for, look them up, notjustguns.com, or find them on their Wednesday night auctions at the same website, again, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Also, our friends at Conquest Scents, makers of the Scents in a Stick, like VS1 and Evercomb, and of course the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Here we are fully into May, and right now we're going to talk a little bit of bass fishing with our friend Dan Kimmel. GreatLakesBass.com is where you can find all of the information going on in the bass fishing world of the Great Lakes State, legislation, things they're working on, and and even when he's fishing, he still finds time for us. Dan Kimmel, how are you, sir?
I'm doing really great. Yeah, I like talking about fishing almost as much as fishing.
Almost as much. And when I scheduled this interview, which was like yesterday, Dan, you going to be fishing around? No, it looks like it's going to rain, not going to be fishing. And I catch a mid-cast.
Yeah.
First thing.
At least
this
I
morning.
Didn't throw my rod in the lake.
This is true. So, real quickly, I'm not going to ask where you're at, but so far, how are you doing this morning?
Well, we got a little late start because we were thinking it might be raining this morning, so we haven't caught anything yet. But we're feeling a lot better than we were 20 minutes ago.
Now, you've already been out a few times this year because in Michigan, you can target bass legally, but it's got to be catch and immediate release, which has only been around for a couple of years. And, of course, you and your group of friends and legislators helped put that into motion.
Yeah, we worked really hard on that. It always takes maybe 2 years or more to get one of these things all the way through. But this one was really worth it. This was the best one yet, but I'm not done.
You're not done. I mean, real quickly, I mean, it's pretty much self-explanatory. There was a time that, you know, you could not target bass. I mean, literally go after smallmouth and largemouth in the off season. I mean, if you caught one by accident, air quotes, then you had to immediate release it. Now you can literally go looking for them, searching for them, fish for them, and still catch an immediate release.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. This law, the fisheries law in the book that says, or you cannot also attempt to take a fish out of season. I mean, it's just outdated. I actually had one DNR biologist tell me he didn't think any of our close seasons were scientifically necessary anymore. So I'm supporting the pike guys. We did the muskie thing. Now we're working on the pike guys.
Yeah, I don't honestly see where it's an issue. Should we follow the rules? I mean, look, nothing should be an issue. Should we follow the rules?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people didn't. The DNR had asked me quite some time ago to set an example. So every spring, I was in a very bad mood for several months. Now I'm in a much better mood.
So, I mean, and again, with this warm-up, have things triggered a little faster with the bass action out there?
Yeah, on some lakes it's ahead and a lot better than last year. But, you know, these cold nights keep coming back. I think that some of the fish are confused, but they're like us. They want to get going with what they got to do. And there's lakes that already really have a lot of bass on beds, even though the water has not come near the so-called, you know, exact temperature range.
Now, with that, I mean, look, I look at some of the shallower lakes being in that range of, you know, early activity. Dan Kimmel is joining us here from GreatLakesBass.com on Wild Michigan. Am I correct in thinking that?
Yeah, I love fishing shallow. I mean, I love spring. It's a tie between spring and fall. But, you know, since I haven't been out on the lake in a while, I try to get out as much as I can. And dark bottom lakes are great choices if you like to fish shallower because they're going to warm up a lot faster. The one, my favorite one, there's been bass on beds already for 5 weeks, and the water had just got to 50 degrees when they started.
Man, now how are they reacting in that mode? I mean, when they're on their beds, because some people, you know, you hear different things. Either they're more aggressive, they're not aggressive at all, they're protecting their areas. What is really going on?
Yeah, it's almost like there's a different strains of bass in lakes, because you have some that seem to be aggressive almost no matter what. You know, I fish Round Lake a lot, and that real late November through January is really hard for me to find any decent bass. But I got out on March 12th this year because the ice went out really fast all of a sudden. And I think it was less than a week later, I was out there one evening, and it's just like the lake woke up. I mean, you'd think it was July. Everything started happening. It was I caught a 6-pounder during that window. It was amazing.
Yeah, Round Lake Langsburg, it's not a really huge lake by any stretch. A lot of very shallow areas that go out far, but there's a lot of good fishing, especially come wintertime. If you like pike fishing through the ice, that is definitely one of the better lakes in the southern lower Michigan area. Not really far southern, but
yeah,
south central.
Yeah, I can testify there's a lot of pike in there. And I ask anybody, if you ever catch a pike with a Husky Jerk number 10 in its jaw, would you please send it back to me? I've got 5 or 6 of them out there.
At like $8 a lure, that can't be cheap.
Oh, yeah, it's not. The one was my lucky lure. I don't even know why I threw it. I just wasn't thinking.
Apparently not in Round Lake.
Yeah.
Dan Kimmel's our guest here, GreatLakesBass.com. Dan, show season has been about nil. I mean, this is where you get a lot of people finding out about you and your group there, your page, and all the things you guys do. But look, let's be obvious. That's really taking a back seat to reality right now.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, when the normal time came up, I kept feeling like I should be doing a lot of something right now, and this still feels weird, but I guess the good news is last year, and it appears to be happening again this year, we're having record fishing license sales, you know, for over a long period of time. And so that part's good. A lot more people are, hey, I think I'll go fishing, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's been kind of the opposite for me. I haven't really had the chance because I've been working on other stuff with another business I have outside of radio. But no, I've been seeing, you know, a lot of reports of people getting out. Action on the big lakes is heating up with some of the bigger fish already. Again, I think attributing to this early warm spring. But then again, we've had this cool down. But the water temperatures really don't cool down as fast.
Yeah, it doesn't, especially if you're fishing, you know, shallow lakes, dark bottom lakes, especially if you concentrate towards the northwest corner of most lakes, because that's almost always the warmest water. And so I do that a lot. A lot of times my first trip to lake, I go right to the northwest shallowest, most protected corner.
Now, what is your approach as far as tackle in those areas? I know every body of water has different structure, but is there a general starting place for you?
Yeah, I always have to warm up in the morning by throwing something moving, and I have this spinnerbait they unfortunately don't make anymore, but the key to it primarily is it looks like a big bluegill, and I like to throw that. If I have to, I'll fish it real slow. So I usually do that first, and bladed jigs also can be good. I switch back and forth until they start hitting better, you know, hopefully.
Hopefully, definitely the key word. Dan Kimmel, GreatLakesBass.com, joining us. Dan, I'm going to let you throw a couple of casts. Maybe you can get something to talk about for us in the second segment. But we've got more coming up with you. Hang on, please. And you know what? Why not get out fishing? Why not get out and do some turkey hunting right now in the spring? Coyote hunting? Year round. That's a beautiful thing here in Michigan. Right now, you can target bass as long as you are catching and releasing. We'll talk more with Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com coming up next on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, Back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense. Dan Kimmel, as you may or may not hear in the background, doing some fishing this morning. And Dan, I want to share a little technology thing with you, which I'm surprised you don't know about. Bluetooth, Dan. That way you don't have to hold your phone and fish at the same time.
Yeah, I guess I'm old or something. I've avoided a lot of the Bluetooth stuff. I even spent a great deal of time looking for RF headphone speakers.
Jeez. All right, now you're showing your age.
Right.
But no, you know what? It's funny because the Bluetooth thing was so huge in the beginning. Everybody had one. They sounded like crap. Now they're probably better sounding than they ever have, and nobody uses them.
I know, but it's still weird to be standing in some place you don't expect a stranger to talk to you, and it seems like the stranger suddenly starts talking to you about odd things.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Dan Kimmel is actually out fishing right now. While he's talking to us, and let's talk about some of the setups that you use, Dan, because there are people. I mean, look, this past year and a half has been, or year rather, has been great for people who normally, you know, I mean, not only are probably even new to fishing, but are looking for some different rigs. And I have never been a bait cast guy up until recently. I've got one, but still, there's a lot of tricks to bait cast that I don't know about. You know, about setting them up and fishing them properly. So I'm pretty much a spin cast guy still. But there are definitely advantages to the bait cast.
Oh, yeah. I use them both, which confuses a few people. But and I use a lot of left-handed bait cast. Like today, we're casting to a lot of close targets, and it's just so much easier to cast out and be able to reel right away, because it's amazing how many times your lure seems to barely touch the water and you already got one on. And you can mess that up in the process of switching hands, but that's probably a lot to ask some people. But I will mention the suspending jerkbait along your lines you were talking about. That back, I think it was 3 weeks ago, I caught my biggest Michigan bass ever, an 8-pounder on a little suspending jerkbait. That was exciting.
Now, was that, I didn't get the picture, so was that a largemouth bass or a smallmouth?
Yeah, it's largemouth. Largemouth.
Wow.
I mostly largemouth fish. And I don't know if I ever wanted a fish in the net as bad as that one, ever.
I can imagine. Dude, that's a pig.
Yep, and it's a number 10 husky jerk, so it's the smaller 4-inch one. But I was fishing it next to an undercut bog, floating bog, and she was probably hiding under there and just shot out and grabbed it and about pulled my arm off.
Well, and that's really cool too. And for those who may be new to bass fishing, the way a smallmouth hits versus a largemouth, I mean, smallmouth are just like born pissed off. They are very aggressive, very, very tough fighting. And the bigger, I mean, definitely the meaner the fight. When you get to a largemouth bass and even one of size, it's like kind of fighting a log.
It can be, yeah. I think I mentioned earlier, it's like there's fish gene pools of different varieties, like the aggressive, the non-aggressive. So I've caught largemouth, especially now that they're so big in so many places, that did proud even a smallmouth. I mean, it can be on the same lake where you're catching bass that don't fight very hard, and then you catch a bass that you swear it's got to be 10 pounds away. It's fighting, and it's like 3 pounds.
Dan Kimmel's our guest. GreatLakesBass.com is his website. What are some of the things you guys are working on right now, aside from, you know, fishing and getting updates from some of the lakes around the Lansing, Greater Lansing area?
Well, there's improvement. It's just the COVID thing, it kind of makes it, it's a little confusing about how far we'll get and how good a timing it is. I'm still kind of holding on it before I start. Things are returning to normal, but they're still a little odd.
Yeah, kind of an understatement. But like you mentioned earlier, you help other groups. It's not just about bass, as the name implies, GreatLakesBass.com. You are helping pike anglers and muskie anglers alike kind of get some of the old verbiage off of the books and get something a little more up-to-date and fresh.
Yeah, yeah. We need to use the modern biology, even if we don't have it in our state. I mean, the fish species are all pretty much the same. Some people argue, are they so much different? But I know a lot of fisheries biologists from all over North America, and that's not what they're telling me. So it's just, it's hard to change. And I can't blame them for being a little worried. Oh, we might have to manage the fish more and we're short-staffed and all that. But we need people to fish. And to have people fish, you need to make it easy and as often as possible for them to get out. I firmly believe that. That's why I do all this.
Well, you know, and nothing, and look, we are so short-staffed in this state already when it comes to law enforcement, Department of Natural Resources, things that are very important to maintaining a healthy balance in this state, not only in wildlife, but, you know, and you know, to have them go over things that have been on the books forever, I can see as difficult because we are very much a state of, well, that's how it's always been. Why change it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And people, a lot of people feel that way, too. I get a lot of people tell me they don't want me to do anything because they just don't want change. And, you know, that never stops me, not one bit.
Well, I got to be honest with you, Dan. I'm pretty glad about that because that's one thing that's always really kind of, you know, I've had an issue with. It's, you know, I mean, we look at, you know, we've always hunted for bucks and, you know, we don't hunt those. Who says we don't hunt does? My family has applied for doe permits since I was able to understand what deer hunting was. Okay, it wasn't about antlers in our family. It's about how much meat we could get in the freezer legally. You know, and there's right, still some right. people that are just not on that, you know, frame of thinking.
Yeah, a lot of people say Michiganders say they support scientific management, but we need them to understand so they support it correctly. And if you're going to control a deer population, you got to do something with the does too. I mean, to keep the numbers where you want them. I mean, that one's kind of easy because every time something happens to minimize deer hunting in an area, immediately car deer accidents and even human injuries and fatalities go right up. So a lot of that, we have the insurance companies on our side too.
Absolutely. Dan Kimmel, GreatLakesBass.com, is joining us here on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. And if, you know, you think things should never change and always be the same way, you can contact me via outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Yell at me all you want or whatever. But, you know, this is just my thinking, what I've seen in my 54 years of being on this planet and hunting and fishing my whole life. And you know, look, we've seen some great comebacks in population with turkeys. The other day I was out driving around, I saw a nice rooster ringneck, and I've been seeing a lot more of them, and I'm excited about that. Will we see what we saw in the 50s and 60s? Not for a while, but you know what? Guys like Dan Kimmel are going to make sure that you can get out and enjoy more fishing time. Dan Kimmel, appreciate your time, dude.
Sure, I enjoyed it every time, Duran, and I hope you get out fishing this year.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Make sure you get out and catch something today. I want pictures. I want proof.
Okay, I will do that.
All right, man. Great, GreatLakesBass.com, Dan Kimmel here on Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast absolutely free because we've got great people like Not Just Guns sponsoring the show, Conquest Sense, United Deer Farmers of Michigan bringing us to you each and every week via our affiliates or, like I said, podcast, which you can listen to the show, download it for free anytime, take us with you on the road or wherever, you know, workshop or whatever you're doing. and maybe even on the golf course or in the boat. Whatever it is, we want to be there with you, and we appreciate it. Thanks to Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com in the first couple of segments of the show. Dan taking some time out. Actually, I'm gonna rat on Dan. He was out at Sleepy Hollow fishing today. So if you know where that's at, just outside of Lansing, over the Langsburg area, you can probably find Dan there still, or Round Lake, one of the two. A couple of his favorite fishing spots. But right now, we're going to speak with Ryan Smith. Ryan is out in Oregon, and he is with Sportsmen Organized for Law Enforcement, something, of course, the outdoors, which you know is very near and dear to our hearts. But I, growing up, having lots of friends in the law enforcement business, man, those take the time out to protect and serve. And you know, people that I've met along the way that, you know, maybe we weren't friends at the beginning, but have become friends, and people in general, because it's a very difficult life that they choose to do. So, Ryan, joining us, how are you, sir? Good to have you along.
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how this all got started for SOLE, S-O-L-E, Sportsmen Organized for Law Enforcement.
Yeah, so we really kind of trace back to 2016. If you remember, there was quite an anti-police movement that was sweeping the country at that time, that summer. And there was a horrible event, a series of horrible events that kind of culminated in six police officers being shot and killed in Dallas, Texas. And it was just, you know, it was a point at which it was too much. Like the pushback was too much when that event happened. And a number of executives at Mossy Oak came together and said, we need to do something to break this cycle, to show support, and to give back. And that's when they came up with this idea of Sportsmen Organized for Law Enforcement. Their belief was that there is no greater supporter of the men and women in uniform than the outdoor sportsmen. And they said, let's start putting something together and show our care and concern. And then they just said, hey, let's raise some money and let's do some good. Like, let's meet some needs right where law enforcement officers are. And that was the very simple beginning.
You know, it's funny, Ryan, when you talk about executives, you see a guy, Toxie Hayes, founder of Mossy Oak and CEO of Mossy Oak. You see a guy like Cuz Strickland. They're not your everyday look at executive guys. These guys are, you know, dyed-in-the-wool, camo-loving, hunting, fishing fanatics. But again, like you said, they have an absolute love for those who are protecting and serving us each and every day.
That's right. Mr. Bill Sugg, same way. You know, I've gotten a chance to spend time with all three of them. And they are very counterculture when you talk about corporate America. And that's what was I found to be so surprising, because their heart is so big. And I almost forget that they run a company like Mossy Oak. You know, the very first thing that they did, they chose three charities that they wanted to benefit, three charities that were already meeting needs for law enforcement. So because they felt like we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. Let's just enable some groups that were already doing the good work that needed to be done. And those three are Below 100, Spirit of Blue Foundation, and Concerns of Police Survivors. We can talk about what those three groups do in a second. But this is how they started the whole thing off. They contacted all three charities, and they said, we would like to have you down to hunt together. That's how you get to know somebody, is to hunt with them. And so they did. They brought us all down to Mississippi. We went hunting for a few days, made a TV show out of it. And I think we bonded through that experience in a way that we couldn't have through anything else. Especially not in the boardroom,
you know, and that philosophy. I've learned more about people that I've hunted and fished with, and have gotten closer to them than a lot of other people. I mean, I've got a lot of close friends, a lot of great friends, but those you spend time with in the woods, I mean, you're pretty much putting your life in their hands as well, because you're dealing with firearms, you're dealing with, you know, moving targets and all of those factors that we really kind of take for granted when we're out there, but it's all about safety, and that's how these two kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, very true. Like, it's very primal, it's very trust building, and it's very revealing.
Ryan Smith is our guest. SOLE, S-O-L-E, Sportsman Organized for Law Enforcement. Getting this is kind of a new, and you're not a huge organization by any stretch.
No, we are a startup in a lot of ways, just getting rolling. And we have different ways for people to get involved through annual membership. You can join SOLE. We have industry partners that are jumping on board, a handful of them now. And really the long-term goal is to see a community build throughout the industry, shooting, hunting, archery, fishing, that is with one simple statement, which is we care enough to give back and we support you every day. And I think that what we'll see over time is that Mossy Oaks leadership position in this way is going to be infectious. And other brands are going to see this as a very positive way to join a movement to support law enforcement.
No, I agree. You know, on a personal note, and really I don't care. I can be honest on this show as much as I want to be. I frankly don't care what people think when I say I support law enforcement, when I back my friends and their coworkers, as long as they are doing the job to the degree that they are taught and you know, with the same emphasis as equality for everybody out there, I'll back these guys to the you know, till my end. You know, because I know what a difficult job it is. I've seen what the job can do to people, and I know how important it is, and I will do my best to help promote them and build them up and get them the help that they need as best as I can. You know, which is unfortunately in this culture a very unpopular statement because of what we're seeing from the top down.
Yes, but I do think that your sentiments are shared by more people than we're led to believe. In fact, the reason why SOLE kind of got reinvigorated and we took these steps to incorporate as an independent nonprofit is that the moment last summer that defund police showed up on a sign at a protest, our phone has been ringing off the hook with people trying to find a way that they can be a part of the counter narrative, that they can actually show support and they can show that what they see on TV is not how they feel and not what they want to see happening in our country.
Absolutely. Ryan Smith is joining us here from SOLE. And we are going to find out more about that here, Brian, because if I ask the next question, it'll be far too long because of the break that we're going up to. And how is Oregon right now? Because in Michigan, we're a little cool, little wet, which isn't too bad, a little overcast. But I know where you're at, it has a tendency to be a lot of the same.
Yeah, we're actually going to be in the 80s this week, so we're starting to dream of what summer's going to be like.
Well, good. We were going to be in like in the 60s next week, which for me, for a big fellow like myself, I don't mind the 60s. You get it above 70, I'm not hitting the golf course anytime too soon. So if you don't mind hanging on for a couple minutes, we're going to get to a break here in a couple minutes and find out more about SOLE, find out how we can get involved, and find out maybe there might be another Michigan connection aside from the one here in Wild Michigan. Just maybe. I'm Duran Martinez. You're listening to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Yeah, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, and thank you, Mr. Chris Tyler, for that reintroduction back to our affiliates and our podcast listeners. If you want to check us out, we're at wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Conquest Sense, and, of course, United Deer Farmers of Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, and we are getting into our 15th year of this show. And show, this is how the show started 15 years ago on September 30th of 2006 was our first show ever And our first guest was supposed to be my good friend Mark Farner from a Grand Funk Railroad. Well, that kind of got a little tied up because Mark was on tour someplace, and we couldn't really get him, so we had to get him for show two. But this other guy kind of stepped up and said, hey, you know, I'll do it. And so guest one, show one, Ted Nugent kicked off what would become Wild Michigan. And you know what? He is good about getting involved with things, especially when they fit his passion. And Ryan Smith, you know a little bit about that yourself.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Ted Nugent has been generous enough to join our advisory board at Sportsman Organized for Law Enforcement. And you can't find a more passionate and vocal supporter of law enforcement than Ted. I mean, he knows the sacrifice and just the risk that these men and women put themselves in. And he's been a great infusion to what we're doing.
You know, and as a side note, this is me personally speaking out. I won't say really on his behalf, but from what I know of Ted, what I've dealt with over 27 years of radio in the Lansing area and in Michigan, there's a lot of people that really don't like him. He doesn't care. A lot of people that, you know, don't like his music or will parse his music out to say he's this, that, and the other. I challenge all of those people to go up against him in a civil debate and make sure you have your crying towel with you because you're going to lose. That's just what it is. And to have somebody so passionate about so many things, Second Amendment, our outdoor rights and our freedoms here in the United States that are being challenged on a regular basis to support law enforcement as he is doing, it means a lot to me personally.
Yep, we totally agree. And we think that he has, you know, the right perspective and definitely is helping us get the word out.
Now, Ryan, who is benefiting from Soul? Because, I mean, there are so many law enforcement officers out there, so many departments, and there's a lot of charities that are helping law enforcement officers in many different ways. How is Soul benefiting of that community?
Yeah, we chose three charities that are already doing the work to either protect officers or serve their families. And those three are Below 100. They do safety training to police officers who are on duty, and they teach five simple things, which is wear your ballistic vest, wear your seatbelt, watch your speed, ask yourself what's important now, and to remember that complacency kills. And when I read that list off, it sounds so very simple. It's almost no-brainer stuff. And yet, if officers are mindful of these five things while on duty, their chances of surviving their shift go up dramatically. And so a lot of it is just reinforcement and making sure that officers know that their job one is actually getting home at night at the end of their shift to their family. And then job two is to protect and serve. So that's what they do. And they have volunteer trainers all across the country who are giving these classes every week to agencies everywhere. Second group is Spirit of Blue Foundation. They approach officer safety from a slightly different standpoint. Instead of training, they grant out safety equipment that law enforcement agencies are not purchasing and providing to their officers, mostly because they don't have a budget to do so. So that's really key. They do a lot of body armor, medical and trauma equipment, patrol rifles, flashlights, pretty much anything that an officer would need on duty to protect themselves. If they don't have access to it, Spirit of Blue will step in and purchase it. And then the third charity, and I think this is the most important across the whole landscape of nonprofits that serve police officers, is Concerns of Police Survivors. And this is an organization that steps in the day an officer is lost in the line of duty and may create a relationship that spans decades. They provide immediate benefits, counselors and psychologists to work with the family, to help them understand and cope and, you know, kind of live life after the loss of their officer. And then they host things like a kids camp in the summer for the children so that they can have a traditional summer camp experience amongst peers, you know, all kids who have lost their parents in the line of duty, along with retreats for spouses and siblings and parents of even coworkers. So they do a tremendous tremendous service to the law enforcement community by caring for the families that are left behind.
You know, we appreciate all the work that you and those organizations are doing for our law enforcement community. You know, the what we're seeing or what's being shoved down our throat from the media with mob mentality being okay, but peaceful protest is bad. It's very difficult. I mean, for young people to want to go into this industry, this business, which it really technically is, it's viewed as a numbers business, unfortunately, and do the right thing. It's very difficult. And to see these support groups that you guys are helping is at least somewhat comforting in my outsider's perspective.
Right. On paper, it looks like no one should ever join this profession if you look at how maligned and looked down upon it is. And, you know, I would argue that that's by design. There are groups out there that are trying to demean and demoralize law enforcement, which is unfortunate. But if you look at the people who are getting involved, you know, I was a fourth generation police officer. I have a nephew in Nebraska who's the first of a fifth generation in my family who was serving in law enforcement. For those people who have the calling, there really isn't much you could do to stop them from joining and being a part of this. And we're thankful every day that people continue to make the decision to pursue this as a profession, because it's more than just a profession. I mean, I think one of the, you know, we talk about the thin blue line, and the thin blue line is that line between order and chaos. And our society doesn't function without that. So the role that we get to play is supporting those who are going to make the decision to be involved in law enforcement one way or the other. But they need to be served and served well in order to make it through that experience.
Ryan Smith is our guest here. Joining us with Soul, Sportsman Organized for Law Enforcement. And Ryan, I'm just going to interject this real briefly from personal experience. Look, I have been on the opposite side of things when I shouldn't have been, driving when I shouldn't have been. And, you know, I'll just throw it out there. I've been arrested twice. Not once have I ever been treated in a way other than professional by state and local law enforcement in any way, being either, like I said, being arrested or being defended. You know, and it's all about how you treat them. I mean, look, like I said, I'm putting everything out there on for the world to know that I have not been perfect, and by the grace of God, I am still here, and a lot of those folks are here still as well. But real quickly, Ryan, please give out the website so we can share that.
Yeah, you can find us at soulamerica.org, and you can sign up to be a member at soulamerica.org/membership.
All right. Well, there it is. I'm not perfect, world. Ryan, thank you for your service, sir, and all the hard work you guys are doing. Hang on the line. I'll talk to you off air. But thanks, everybody, for joining us here on Wild Michigan. Thanks to Not Just Guns. Cedar Street 127 in Mason, notjustguns.com. Look for their Wednesday night auctions. Conquest Sense, makers of VS1, and Evercalm, Sense in a Stick, and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan here on the Michigan Talk Network.